Amen. It is a joy to pastor a church has such a gifted staff, a church that's committed to children's ministry. What a great summer Miss Lisa and her workers and children had, and Pastor Chris, his devotion to student ministry and worship. We're just so blessed, and to see what God is doing in these students as well in their ministry. Jeremiah and Landon Smith, a young man from East Haven, God put on their heart this idea of Love in Lincoln some years ago, and it birthed out of students when they were in high school. And also other churches participate, First Baptist Church, of course, Landon and Jeremiah leading, and others. They brought in a fellow from the Delta that they all went to mission, international mission. Is it Preston or Presley? I knew I wouldn't get it right the first time. That's why I have you here to help me. But Presley was there, just did a great job. The three of them spent 6 weeks in Central Asia. You're going to hear more about that next week. Pastor Nick's going to build a bridge at the end of our service to that special service. That is your heads up that you are going to build a bridge to that. We hadn't talked about that. I'm telling, man, this service has had so much great stuff in it. I had a chance to mention that idea. Of course, I just had it. But anyway, that's another story. But I appreciate that. Also, Macedonia. I met the student pastor in Macedonia. Their students were involved in this. So it's just expanding, and I appreciate that. Janie West was in one of our stores, and shopping stores with her husband, Milton, and some of you, unbeknownst, you didn't know her, and you went up to her and said, "Hey, ma'am, is there anything I can pray with you about?" As an effort of outreach to her, just out shopping, one of our evangelism teams. Now, unbeknownst to them, she's married to Milton. So, yes, there's a lot to pray for that lady. And so how God works all that out. But we are urged by Scripture. We are beseeched by Scripture. We are begged by Scripture, by the apostle, to think about how merciful God has been to us as believers in Christ, and to respond to that goodness by likewise presenting ourselves, our lives, as living sacrifices to Him, holy and acceptable, which is how we are to worship Him. It is our reasonable act of spiritual life and worship. It is a response to His sacrifice for us. Now, we have the gift of eternal life, and we are to sacrifice and give and give and give it away. You will never outgive God. He just wants you to put it into action, the love of God. Now, that sermon's for free. Ephesians 2. 1-7 brings us to a special part of "Do this in remembrance of me." And by the way, this ordinance is the Lord's Supper. It's not our supper. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are invited to join us in His supper. "Do this in remembrance of me," our Lord commanded. He said, "Remember all that I am and all that I have done for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in Ephesians, we realize that Christ was predestined before the foundation of the world to be the way in which people would come to faith and receive the grace of God. In Him, we find the way. In Christ, we find the way. In fact, beyond that, you and I are predestined as believers to be conformed to His image, not our own image. He alone is worthy. He is exalted. And when we get to Ephesians chapter 2, he introduces this idea that not only is this salvation, this God the Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one for the Jews, he is also the anointed one for the Gentiles. That this gospel is for all people, for all nations. That it is through Christ you can be saved. And you and I, now that is just part of the sovereignty of God. But I want you to understand the emphasis of chapter 1 is in him and in him and with him and in Christ. My friend, it's not you that's the emphasis. It's him that's the emphasis. He is the one that is to be praised. He is the one that gives glory to God the Father. And when you respond to God's invitation and receive salvation, God's mercy, God's grace, you and I are given an extraordinary privilege. We are made alive. And yes, we know that Jesus Christ came and he indeed made peace between God and humanity. Every man, woman, boy, and girl must come through Christ to return to a peace with God. But today I want you to see the second thing. Not only that, when we come to chapter 2, especially the last paragraph of chapter 2, this is brought, this truth is highlighted. God not only sent Christ to give you the opportunity to return and have peace with himself, but also that you might have peace with every other believer in Christ. From every nation, every tribe, every people group, every tongue, you and I are to be one together with Christ. I love the song that we sang, "Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Together, Jew and Gentile, together. So when we come to Ephesians 1, and you, Jew and Gentile, he made alive Christ, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all, Jew and Gentile, once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, boy, it was dark up until that phrase. We were lost, hopelessly lost. But God, and look how he's defined three times, three phrases, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, oh, what a God. Still merciful, still willing to act, still willing to send Christ, even when we were rebels, even when we were dead, spiritually dead in our trespasses and sin. What did he do? Notice these three things. He made us alive together, Jew and Gentile. With Christ, by grace, you have been saved. Notice the next thing, and he raised us up together, and made us sit, say it with me, together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages, the eons and eons and eons to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. There's a sermon in there, but I don't have time, because I want you to focus on together. Friend, the world has never known the level of animosity, the level of vitriol, the level of pure disgust the Jews had with the Gentiles and the Gentiles had with the Jews. Thousands of years. You look at how Pharaoh treated the Hebrew children. You look at how when God sent them back into the promised land, how the nations gathered together to kill this small little group of people called Hebrews. No group of people have ever fought each other worse than Jews and Gentiles. He said, Pastor, how about those Ukrainians and Russians? Horrible, brutal. How about the Muslims of North Sudan against the Christians of the South Sudan? Machete wielding, killing children. It is horrible. How about the bombing of the so-called Protestants against the so-called Catholics in Northern Ireland? These things have gone on for decades. But the animosity between the Jews and the Gentiles went on millennium and millennium, thousands of years, thousands of years. Even if a Jew married into a Gentile, the Orthodox Jew wouldn't even walk on their land. They would rather go all the way around their land if it took them 3 more days to get to the temple. They would not step foot in a traitor's land. They hated the Gentiles, and the Gentiles hated the Jews. Anybody know about the Holocaust? Anybody ever studied Haman in the book of Esther? They wanted a genocide. And don't you think the Antichrist could not right now be on this earth? The battle still continues. And yet, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and this is meant to be a circular letter to all the saints of the churches of Asia Minor. He says to them, remember that in Christ, not only is the enmity between you and God been removed, but the enmity between you and any other person that existed, that's gone when they come to Christ. When you give your life to Christ, all of that is wiped away because you realize there's level ground at the foot of the cross, and you both have red blood. And it's only the blood of Jesus that even gives you the opportunity to be redeemed. So you've been made peace with God, and you make peace with one another. And so here he addresses this, and he says, remember, remember, you have a common sinner's fate. Before Christ, you were just as lost as they were. Remember that Jew who brags about your spiritual lineage? It was never going to save you. Your access to the laws were never going to save you. It just reminded you that you needed to be saved and a Messiah needed to come. So remember, you too, Gentile. Oh, you didn't have the spiritual lineage. You didn't have the knowledge of Scripture. But oh, how proud you are in your self-reliance and your freedom and your liberty and how smart you are. Remember, you too were just as lost as anyone else in this world, and that you too needed Jesus. Friend, we all, no matter where you think you are in the pecking order of this crazy world, you better get humble real quick, because before Christ, you too were lost. Just like your brother, your sister, anyone else in this world. But praise God, we have a common Savior's faith. A common Savior's faith. Not only were we once lost because we all walked according to the Spirit, the devil's influence in this world. But now because of Christ, we have only one hope, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jew or Gentile, Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. It's all about Jesus. In Him, in Christ, with Christ. That's your only hope. Get excited about Christ. Get excited about the potential that someone could come to Christ too, just like you did. So when we come here, We come recognizing that we were once lost, but by the shed blood and the burial of Christ, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. We have hope, our sins forgiven, a new life birthed in our heart. And we have a new brother and a new sister. And it doesn't matter what race, what tribe, what tongue you come from. If you're a Christian, you are Christ's follower, your only hope is Jesus, and he's Lord of your life. I'm your brother. You're my sister. There is no difference. There is no difference. We both have been made alive in Christ. We both have been raised up in Christ. We both have been made spiritually to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I'm sitting right beside you. You're going to sit right beside me. Why don't we start enjoying a little bit of that right now? So what's the challenge? Jesus said, when you partake, dear follower of Christ, of my body, and the symbol of my body and the symbol of my blood, you do it in peace. Don't come to this table if you've got hatred in your heart for another brother or sister in Christ. If you wish ill of any brother or sister in Christ, don't you dare put that bread on your tongue. Not before you get that right with God right now. God will bless you, but here, the Bible says God chastens whom he loves. And many have suffered consequences because they partook of this table in an unworthy manner. You can't have hate in your heart and then claim to be a follower of the peacemaker. You say, but they don't like me. The Bible says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You can't make somebody else be at peace with you. That's their job. But as far as it depends on you, do you have animosity towards somebody? Have you shrugged your nose up at somebody? Do you look down on somebody else that's a brother, a sister in Christ? Because they're not like you, or their personality is different, or they come from a different nation or a different people group. Friend, I'm telling you, the Lord chastens whom he loves. And he will not take hate in your heart. He will not, the peacemaker will not overlook it. I was so blessed in this very place. We had a celebration of life service for Terry Moat. I spoke, and a young man spoke about her influence and her husband's influence in her life. Came up here, spoke about it. She's a very quiet person. Smart as a whip. Serious about her faith. But let me tell you something. She would have loved what y'all did this week. She would have loved seeing faith in action. And there was a young man that Frank brought into their family, and Terry took him in because he needed help. That boy needed help. And she lived and spoke Christ to him, changed his life. She was a teacher. She was a teacher, second, third grade teacher, a little African-American girl was having a hard time. And Terry, as a teacher, saw that and just spent a little extra time with her. She was having a hard time at home. So they reached out, and their home became her second home, and she came like a second mama. You couldn't get any more pale skin than Terry Moat. And that young African-American lady, so beautiful. She's in our education system now as a leader. In our education system, she came and said, God put this Christian lady in my life as a child. Changed my life. It didn't matter what color you were, if you looked exactly like them, or if you looked exactly opposite of them. It ain't about that. It's about the need of every little boy and every little girl and every man and every woman. They need to be at peace with God, and you have the answer. But dear brother and sister, when they come to Christ, they need to be at peace with you too. And you need to be at peace with them as far as it depends on you. So I'm telling you today, when we go into this time of examination, get your heart right. Walk today where Jesus walked. He walked through Samaria. He walked to Tyre and Sidon. He went across the border into the Gentile nations. And he said, the kingdom has come. Get ready. Repent of your old ways and come and drink living water, and you'll never thirst again. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and come. Be at peace. Would you bow your heads as I read this scripture and examine your life? Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. O Lord, forgive us when we act without first considering the mercies of God, the goodness of God on our heart. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, I was taught at a young age, you will never speak the word hate in my home. Never allowed. And as a young man, I learned, if I'm not supposed to say it out loud, I'm not supposed to have it in my heart either. And I'm to love. I'm to be at peace as much as depends on me with all men. Oh God, thank you for being a peacemaker and bringing us back to God. And thank you for doing in our life what we cannot do on our own, helping us be at peace with all brothers and sisters in Christ. What a glorious homecoming awaits us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this summer at First Baptist. Thank you, Lord, for preparing our hearts. Help us today walk where Jesus walked. Amen.